Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at KansasSpeedway.com.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Drive a same man bizzard. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to Wizard.
How do you console my mom?
Or give a light support. Telling her son's own life support. And just imagine how my girl feel on the planes.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There's a. I cannot put my finger on it, but there's just a great vibe this week with Garrett Dieter in studio. He comes a little hop in a step. He brings donuts for us. Marco is just jumping up and down. I actually walked a little bit, and Gary and I commiserated about back injuries. And then Gary even said, I don't know what it's just, the vibe in the studio is just, it's just a different feel. I don't know what it is. It's just super positive. It feels good in here. I don't know. Yeah, what's that?
Nobody sleeping in the chairs.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Nate, what's going on, man?
Hey, good news for you guys. I won't be in studio next Thursday either. So,
really?
You know, keep this vibe rolling for you.
By the way, your emails have me... One email says you're going to be gone Wednesday and Thursday, and then the next email says you're going to be gone Tuesday and Wednesday. And so what I would like you to do is to tell me which days live on the air so I can nail it down.
I'll be doing the show from Oklahoma City on Wednesday and Thursday next week.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I was going to ask you, like, which are you trying to test us? Are you trying to trick us? Do you not want us to know for sure?
I'm going to keep you guessing. You know, I don't want
you to
get too comfortable. Good.
Did you know that the last email said Tuesday and Wednesday?
No, I didn't realize that. It's hard for me to keep my own schedule straight.
Right.
I'm going to drive down to Oklahoma City on Tuesday after the show because I'm going to do the Invicta fight card down there on Wednesday night. So I'll do the show from there Wednesday morning, do the fights Wednesday night, do the show from down there Thursday morning, and then drive home.
Here's the best part. There have been some questions about things. So Nate sends us... terse email, because you know when Nate's little angry, it says, to confirm that everyone is updated on my schedule coming up. Next week, I will be in Oklahoma City on Tuesday the 27th and Wednesday the 28th. I will be available to do the show remotely from OKC both days.
Yeah, my bad.
So that's not true.
Yeah, no, it's not true.
It just screwed the whole plans up. I had a chef coming in here and everything. What do you think about Garrett Dieter bringing donuts in here when you're not here?
I'm glad I'm not in there, to be honest with you, because I probably eat two of them.
What's wrong with that? You had to treat yourself sometimes.
Two's not bad.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Garrett Dieter, for caring enough to bring donuts in.
Hey, Dunkin' Donuts, Thursday. Yes. Yankees won last night. I'm feeling good, in a good mood.
Thank you, my friend.
You like when the Yankees play the Pirates, don't you?
I like when the Yankees cover the spread.
I don't like it when my rotisserie pitcher, Roansy Contreras, faces the Yankees because despite 10 strikeouts, he gave up 600 runs. Gary,
yeah, it's a rough game for him last night.
Son of a... Now you have Aaron Judge with 60 home runs. What does that mean to you?
It's pretty cool to see. You know, everybody's you see how much it means to Yankee fans. They're packing the house on games that shouldn't be packed against Pirates and have the mayor's family at the game. That's pretty awesome to see. And I mean, Judge is handling it the best way he can, and he wants to get it over with. You can tell he wants to just knock it out and be done with it and move on, but I think he's soaking it up a little bit.
I want him to get over it too. I want him to hit this home run too. You know why
is that?
Because when I'm watching other games I care about on ESPN, they keep cutting into the middle of the game so they can show us his at-bats.
Were you watching that soccer game yesterday or something?
Okay, yes, what games are you watching that you care about?
Cincinnati, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
It's history. It's
Leagues
history,
Cup
Nate.
Was on last night, man. I know, but see, but here's the thing, Garrett. This is the problem when you're a non-Yankees fan. It's like being a non-Kansas basketball fan in this town. You get it shoved down your throat. Look at all the winning we're doing. Look at how great we are. And say, yeah, okay, great for you. But for the rest of us, you know, and that's how it is like being a non-Yankees fan. You know, we've been out of it in baseball for like the past 7 years. And then we got to watch, you're not even trying to watch this. We're going to make you watch this. We're going to switch over and you're going to be forced to watch this. That's what it's like.
Well, turn your TV off. I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
If I was watching soccer, I'd be excited if they cut into it. Like, hey, let's go somewhere else.
That's a nice little break.
Right. And he's watching soccer.
There was a good big boxing match on, and they cut away from it, and you had to watch Aaron Judge hit home runs. You'd be mad too, Steve.
I watch boxing on pay-per-view, friend. Okay? I go to the movie theaters with Marco and his dad to watch.
Not that cable nonsense.
Yeah, not that cable nonsense. That's exactly right. Thank you, Gary Dieter, for that backing me up. But I'm fascinated by the home run chase because once again, a member of the Bada Bings, Aaron Judge, and so I'm going to battle for first place, and so I'm invested in this. But it is Buster.
I didn't see Steven becoming a Yankees fan on this. That's a plot twist for me. Right
I'm an Aaron
here,
Judge
you know?
Fan.
This is wild.
I'm an absolute. I've always been an Aaron Judge fan.
Yes,
this is my team here right now. Man. I drafted him.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah. Well. And so Aaron Judge, Buster only said that Aaron Judge, it's the greatest offensive season he's ever seen.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple buddies about that last night. I think it's up there with, there's a few that you can point out. Obviously, the most recent will be Bonds' season. His was a little more impressive, I would say, just because he had more intentional walks. What do you have, like 100-something intentional walks that year? And still hit 73 home runs, so that's pretty insane. I know he's on the roids, but still pretty crazy to do.
He was on the roids.
He was on the roids, but I mean, Judge, triple crown, contract season, keeping the Yanks in first place all year. I think there's something to be said with that.
Right there, see A. Judge in the Bada Bings. I haven't have a team logo on my rotisserie team.
Yep,
it's from the Sopranos.
That's so. A pretty good team.
See? Marco, you like that, don't you?
Almost done watching it.
Oh, the Sopranos?
Yeah.
Where are you at right now?
They just ran into Adriana's mother at the fair, and she confronted Tony's wife about her daughter's death.
Right.
There's no smoked turkey in the house, so Tony's upset about that right now.
Well, that's a big deal.
The lady from the Good Wife, he's selling the estate.
Okay.
The business.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. It's fun to live vicariously through you as you go through The Sopranos for the first time. It's very exciting. And so we have Gary Dieter in studio. The Chiefs end up getting the win over the Chargers. It was a hard-fought victory, but man, oh man, how about Jalen Watson with the 99-yard pick six, and he ends up in a second game winning AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Mm-hmm. He steps up in the absence of Trent McDuffie, seventh-round pick, and to come through with that kind of play that, let's be honest, if he doesn't make that play, maybe the Chiefs lose. That was incredible, right?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome to see. Anytime you get a rookie, you have a lot of nerves kind of going into those games, and the Chargers with Justin Herbert playing how he played, there's a lot of pressure on you to do well because, I mean, they were bombing the DBs in the first half, it seemed like, and going up-tempo, obviously, kind of hurt them at that point. It looked like Everett was extremely tired and was trying to get out, and he looked like he gave up on the route and kind of, I mean, Watson was in the perfect spot and took advantage of it. So, but that up-tempo stuff, you gotta be careful with it. You gotta be in shape or else it could hurt you.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up because we talked about that quite a bit. You know, he's waving him, you know, he's trying to come out of the game. He didn't, gave up on the route. Herbert threw it anyway, and then also Watson made a great move on the return because he could have been tackled by Herbert, and as tough as yards were to come by in that game because it wasn't easy, that was a gigantic play. Just who was able to evade the tackle and take it back to the house.
Yeah, 100%. I think anytime, I think there's a weird stat out there. Anytime you get a defensive or special teams touchdown, your chances to win skyrocket. Coach Reed always says there's always every year he, at the beginning of the year he always lists out all these stats that really help winning in NFL games because all of them are so close, and defensive and special team stats are extremely important. So it's pretty cool to see rookie step up and, like you said, win that AFC Player of the Week. That's a high honor for any player in the NFL.
You know, and it just seems to me like when the Chiefs play the Chargers, even if the Chargers, you know, get up on the Chiefs, you know, something happens where, you know, the Chargers look back and they can say that they may have outplayed the Chiefs, but they made a big mistake here, didn't capitalize there. That can get, because I remember when Marty Schottenheimer was the coach of the Chiefs, and I would talk to some of the, I've talked to some of the players that played for him, and his mantra was, keep it close, and the Raiders will do something to lose the game in the fourth quarter. It almost feels like that way with the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Chiefs, the rest of the AFC West. Keep it close, and we're going to win the game, or they're going to find a way to lose. You think they can get in the heads, even though there's different players every year? Do you think they kind of gets in the heads of some of these teams in the AFC West?
It's tough to say. I don't think so. I mean, football is just a crazy game. It's hard to say, like, one thing leads to another, but at the end of the day, you're, like you said, all the Chiefs-Chargers games over the past 3-4 years have been extremely tight, and like you said, one or two plays away either side for the team to win. So that game was felt right in that place, and I think watching that game, the conversation we had last week about Justin Herbert, I think confirmed he's a dog, top three.
Hey, so how much blame does he get for the pick six?
I would say that's all on Everett. Just seeing his body language running in the route, you could tell that he wasn't running the right route. He stopped and then kind of gave a move inside and just stopped and looked like Herbert was expecting him to keep coming. And
he had to go out in the flat still, right?
Yeah, and he didn't. So I would say that's mainly on Everett, but it's tough to say. I think Herbert will take the blame, but I think that's on the receiver.
And then that last drive where they did score the touchdown, there was that one bizarre play where you could have ran for the first down, and he just kind of threw it away.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, this guy can't even throw a pass now. And then the next pass, he threads a needle in that fourth down.
Yeah, I don't know what that – I watched the same – I was like – I was just surprised. I was shocked he didn't run for the first down. I was like all the rest of the fans, like, watching the game. I'm like, why would he – what was the third and two or something like that? He just could have easily walked across the line. But I don't know. Maybe that that extra 10-second break helped him. What do you have, cracked ribs or something like that?
So the cartilage,
okay,
like a torn cartilage in the ribs, which some people say could be just as or more painful than broken ribs.
To see him make those throws right after that, that was kind of crazy. I mean, he's tough as it comes, and he showed that he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league that game.
And, dude, that onside kick, I know the Chiefs
won. Oh, my, yeah, that was crazy.
It hit Watson, and it felt like he was there on the grass forever. I mean, that very easily could have gone the other way.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Noah Gray.
Right.
Coming in hot, made the play. But, man, onside kicks, those things are nerve-wracking on both sides, especially when you're kind of the guy, like the ball guy, like Justin was. That's kind of
– yeah.
It's a lot of pressure on you.
And we saw the Browns lost the game because they were unable to recover the onside kick. But for that, you know, like you said, Watson dove at it and tried to secure the football. And
yeah, sometimes kickers get that perfect kick where that ball's spinning. Like Bucker has done it a lot in practice where that – I mean, it feels like it's like a 1-in-10 kick where the kicker can just kick it perfect when nobody can actually catch the ball because it's spinning so much. So it looked like that was one of those kicks that fortunately it came back to the Chiefs. But, man, that thing could have easily went right back to the Chargers, and who knows what would have happened after that.
Nate Bucati, your questions for Gary Dieter.
So I want to go back to the comments you made about Everett not running the route because he was tired and that you got to be in shape, because that's something we've talked, as Steven said, a lot about with the Chiefs, that it seems like their fitness level is always really, really good, And they use that to their advantage through the course of a game. And you could almost chalk that play up to the fact that the Chiefs had a rookie out there who was getting picked on all the way down the field. But when it came to the biggest play of that drive, he still had something in the tank, and the guy that he was defending didn't. Is that on Everett himself for not being in good enough shape in that moment? Is that on the Chargers for not having their team in good enough shape, or not recognizing that he was out of shape? Like, where do we come down on whose responsibility that is?
I would say they showed him asking to come out of the game and they kept him in. So I would say that's on the coaches. I think the Chiefs do a good job of rotating guys if they're tired. Like, you'll see Kelce, if he's extremely, extremely tired, he'll tap his helmet and somebody else will run in for him. Obviously, there's some plays that Coach Reed's going to make Kelce push through it and stay out there. But at the same time, I mean, it's the NFL, so you have to be tip-top shape throughout the whole game. And I think that's something that you have to look in the mirror. But the Chiefs are a little bit different than a lot of NFL teams when it comes to practice. Just the summer conditioning, OTAs, camp, the amount of reps they do, we do the long drive drill where it's 15 plays in a row against the ones, against the twos against twos. And, I mean, that stuff right there, those are the types of things like that drive was, where it's a long drive you have to push through and figure out a way to do it. Otherwise, like you saw, it'll bite you in the butt.
So now that you're in studio with us every week, I try to find a different, unique picture to use to promote. Speaking of being in shape, describe this picture.
Yep. That was Pro Day at Alabama, running the 40. And I've always been a guy that's stayed in pretty decent shape. So I never – that's kind of like one of my – that's why I had to be that guy that could go no matter what. So – I took a lot of pride in being ready and staying in shape no matter what.
Running the 40 shirt off, is that what everyone did? Or is that something you wanted to do?
I think I ran the first one with the shirt on, and I saw everybody else running with the shirt off, so I had to rip it off, and I don't think it made me any faster.
It didn't? What was the difference in time, shirt on and shirt off?
I don't think there was. I think it was I might have been a little slower.
What did you run?
I think it was a 4.59.
Yeah. So who was like? What's Pro Day like at Alabama? I mean, that's
it's
gotta be a circus.
It's not as crazy. Well, there's a lot of scouts, obviously. Like, every team is there, but like it was weird because my year we had, I think, 5 or 6 guys get drafted in the first round. So those guys didn't do anything, and so it was like I think only 4 of us did something during Pro Day, so it was kind of an exhausting day. Like, it was, everything was back to back to back, drills were no breaks, and it was like me, I brought in my quarterback from Bowling Green, Matt Johnson, to come throw to me because we didn't have a quarterback to throw. So it was me, our Darius Stewart ran a couple routes, OJ Howard ran a couple routes and he was done, and I ran like 40 routes. They both ran like 10 routes apiece. I was just grinding, but it was cool. I mean, that's how I think I got a little bit connected with the Chiefs.
So what was the worst drill for the worst part of Pro Day?
We had to
go through all that stuff.
You do the shuttle. Yeah. It was not like the 5-10-5, but it's like the 50-60-yard shuttle or something like that. Basically, it's just like, I don't know what the point of it is. It's a conditioning drill. I don't see how that really translates, but that was exhausting after running 40 routes and doing all that. So I don't know.
You have any comments on this, Nate?
I want to know more about this 15 play drill. Mm-hmm. What were the rules and like, what was it like going through it?
It sucks. It's always during you do it during camp, you also do it during summer OTAs, and it's 15. The ones go 15 plays, the twos are supposed to go around 15, and then the threes go about 12. And you start on, I think you start on like the 15-yard line, and Coach Reed has 15 plays dialed up, and you just run those plays, and you can't come out. There's a decent mix between run and pass, so you kind of get a little bit of a break as a receiver when those run plays come out. But, those are grinding through. That's kind of like Coach Reed's conditioning. Most NFL teams don't do like structured conditioning, like get on the line and run. It's more so do long drive drill and figure it out, because that's kind of what it comes down to. Like I keep saying, like that Chargers game, when you have to dig deep and push through something, that's kind of the way the NFL works. You got to be able to do that, and if you don't, it, like I said, bites you in the butt.
So how much time between plays on this 15 drive drill?
I would say like 30 seconds maybe. I mean, some of them you go a little bit more up tempo, but it's a normal play clock. And
okay.
You have to run back to the huddle, get the play, and get right back out there. So as a receiver, I mean, it doesn't really feel like you get a break. So I'd say all in all, it lasts about, I mean, no more than 3 or 4 minutes. Because it's just, I mean, everything's going fast. 15 plays kind of flies by, but it is exhausting. You usually have one sub, but they don't normally throw them in there. You kind of got to, like I said, you got to push
through. You don't want to be the one calling for the sub,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. No, I was never the guy that would call the – I'm like, all right, I can keep going.
You don't want to figure it out. You don't want to be Gerald Everett out there.
Exactly.
Right. We'll take a break back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I just got a text message from former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma. Does Gary Dieter like to golf? Would love to get him involved in a couple of tournaments. Do you like to golf?
Back in the day, a few years ago, I was a big-time golfer. Pat and I would golf 4 times a week, it felt like, and then the babies came, and I'm just a pickleballer now, but I can still swing it a little bit.
What about a charity golf tournament here and there?
I'm a big charity guy. I would love to be in any charity event in Kansas City.
Jamie Bluma is the man when it comes to charities in Kansas City and golf events, and so he does a lot for Wounded Warriors and veterans and things like that. Sweet. So I know you'd be in on that. So Jamie Bluma, yes.
I'm in. I'm going to get Anthony Sherman as well. He loves Wounded
That's
Warriors.
That's right. Sherm, the tank.
Yep.
Does he still wear overalls just around the house, you think?
He was supposed to play in our game last night. He had to go arrest somebody.
Okay.
So he didn't make it.
What do you mean by that? Arrest?
He's a sheriff now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's a sheriff. Sausage! Bourbon County.
What?
You didn't know that?
Google this. No.
Yeah, you don't remember his retirement thing?
Okay.
He flew off in the helicopter.
Right, but he's
he's got a badge and everything. He's a he's a real guy. He's heavily involved with stopping sex trafficking, and he works with Adam LaRoche.
Right.
So
we were part of that whole deal when we had I had Adam LaRoche on the show.
Okay.
Practical joke.
Yep.
We were
selling Sherm's car.
Yeah, we were. How would you describe that name? I mean, because I remember I had met Adam LaRoche. We did a charity event for the Challenger Fashion, for the Challenger program, for the YMCA. And he had reached out to me about coming on the show because he went, so, you know, and he knows I'll always help.
I remember what they did to his truck.
They sold it.
Right.
They literally auctioned it. Like, you could enter to win Sherm's truck, and they actually gave it away.
And he didn't know about it. And so
he didn't know about it until literally the day of. And, I mean, LaRoche's, it's kind of a good trade-off for Sherm. Like, LaRoche bought him a brand-new car, so.
Oh, really? That's the part I was, so, yeah, that'll work.
Pretty nice.
So what game didn't, Sherm was arresting someone. So
yeah,
what,
he's on our softball team. He's been with us since this past month, or I guess 8 weeks. He's been on the team. I got him out there. And
what's the name of this team?
I think we're just called the Average Joes. It's kind of lame. I don't like the name. I'm not the team.
You're not the captain.
I'm not the maker. I'm not the maker of the team. I just play. But me
is this a team of ringers?
We're all right. We dominated our last league, and we hopped into the advanced league last night. And
how'd that go?
We took them out.
Oh,
dominated.
Really?
Run rules. Just run rules.
Are there any other like ex-professional athletes or guys that use?
Not on that team last night.
So just you. And a bunch of softball people.
Yep. Anthony Sherman and myself. Yeah. And we're just out there. We're having a good time.
What do you play?
Me and Sherman are both outfield. I go a little center. He's in left. He's Sherm's had a couple rough outings.
I was gonna say he doesn't look like he was like outfield.
He told me he was an all-state center fielder in high school, and
he
had a little rust. I could see he definitely could play it. He's gotten a lot better.
So the skills are there, but there's a lot of rust.
Yeah, it didn't. Okay. The first few weeks didn't look very natural, but you could tell he's played before, and since then he's played a lot better, and he's just gotta low hands and just relax on that swing.
Who's a better hitter, you or him?
I'm taking myself over anybody.
Like, what are you, power hitter? You spray ball fields?
I'm everything.
Whatever the team needs?
When the team needs a home run, I can hit one. Other than that, I'm on base every time.
Nate?
I tell you what, if the sausage is playing left field and I'm playing left center field and there's a ball in between the two of us, I'm just going to go ahead and back up.
Yeah,
back him up.
it almost happened one time. Literally, the ball went over our heads and we're both running full speed and I could hear him and I pulled off and sure made the catch, but it could have been a bad day for me.
So what did you think of this body slam on Travis Kelce?
It was pretty, it was crazy. Derwin James's dog.
Didn't Bashaud Breland get a penalty? Like, they flagged him for that when he did it against the Bills.
Yeah, I think they definitely did that. I don't
right,
know.
Marco? Then he got flagged for, like, where was the flag? Like, what?
Yeah, did it to Stephon Diggs last.
That was a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm. Automatic first down.
Yeah, I texted Kelce after the game, and I just, hey, you all right, buddy?
What did he say about that? Was it?
He said, what goes up must come down.
Yeah. I mean, that was WWE worthy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. He had a little segment on his new podcast with his brother, and his brother was roasting him about it. And it's the NFL, man. Who knows what will happen? Everybody gets something at some point.
And Nate, look.
Derwin James took his medicine when he got trucked by Clyde Edwards-Helaire later in the game. So,
let's be honest. And I don't know if you guys feel this. Like, it just seems like everybody, I shouldn't say, hates the Chiefs. Like, Chiefs versus the world, because they're tired of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like any team. It's like the Yankees. A lot of people hate the Yankees because they win a lot. And obviously, we're all in Kansas City, so we're Chiefs fans, and we see all the negative media and feedback that the Chiefs get, and everybody wants them to lose. But I mean, as long as you have Pat, Coach Reed, I mean, those two combined, they're going to be winning for a long time.
Because the Raiders and the Broncos don't look like teams that contend in this division.
No, especially the Broncos. I think the Raiders will be better than the Broncos. The Broncos, I don't know what's going on.
They don't know what's going on.
First of all, Russ doesn't look like
I think he might be washed up, man. He's not looking good.
I'd be looking for my receipt to this deal. See if I can get some kind of return.
He made a lot of money, so I'm sure he's happy. But did you see the little segment of him doing the pass and run calls on the sideline? That was pretty funny. I was like, what are you doing, man? Like,
what? Like, is that you? So, as a former player, is that your reaction? Like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, you don't look like, you don't say, like, look how committed this guy is. Look how invested he is. He does all the little things. Your reaction is the same thing. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, like, if guys are going to do that, like, guys will do it on their own, but I feel like it's the NFL. Like, most guys, especially, like, you're sitting back on the bench. Like, those benches are, probably 10 yards off the sideline, so DBs aren't going to hear you, even if you're screaming as loud as you can. Like, NFL stadiums are loud, so I don't know. He's kind of a drama guy.
So you got to understand, you know, for someone that's been in Kansas City, and this is why – people are so enamored with Patrick Mahomes, right? For our whole lives, the Chiefs would never draft a quarterback. They would always trade for a quarterback past his due date, right? And when Marty Schottenheimer took over, and people forget early on, it was Ron Jaworski. Ron Jaworski was old, and he played. I remember he helped the Chiefs win a game at Seattle. I think it was in 89. And then, you know, Steve DeBerg and Steve Palour and Mark Vlasic, and then they signed Dave Craig, Plan B, and then they traded for Joe Montana, and then they traded for Steve Bono, and then they traded for Elvis Gerback, or signed him as a free agent. And, you know, then it kind of changed. They went out, but they went out and got Trent Green. But it was all these, and you never knew what you were going to get. Mm-hmm. And you always think in the back of your mind, well, this team's trading this quarterback for a reason. And I when I watch Russell Wilson, I'm thinking, oh boy, Seattle looks smart. They might have jumped off that bandwagon right at the same time, and they got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos gave him a lot of money. If you're a Bronco right now, if you're a guy in the front office, aren't you kind of like, oh,
yeah,
no.
I would be questioning myself right now. Obviously, you want to see him play well. I mean, especially week one against the Seahawks, you have to – you know that defense in and out. You know what they have. And for him not to play is – I mean, he didn't play well. He didn't look good, so.
And then not giving him – not showing the confidence to go with him fourth and five and try to kick a 64-yard field goal.
Exactly, so.
And he didn't look good last week.
I don't know. To me, it's like his off-the-field stuff, like his antics, I would say they are. Like,
it's cringy.
Yeah, it's cringy, and I don't know if that, like, catches up with you at some point, but it seems like something's going on with Russ, and you gotta stop being cringy, and you just got to work a little harder, buddy.
He doesn't look the same. Okay, so, and I bring this up because I think this relates to what's happening this weekend with the Chiefs. Matt Ryan doesn't look like Matt Ryan.
No.
I mean, he's 37 years old, and he's not the athlete that Russell Wilson was, so he doesn't have to run. I mean, he's a statue, but good God, getting shut out by the Jags. They look terrible.
I don't know what the – I bet on the Colts both weeks.
Oh, did you? Well,
I'm trapped. I feel like it's like they have to – they were the kind of the dark horse to be good. And
you would think – I was sure they'd be 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, just hand it off to Taylor, and just let him run. But, man, I don't – NFL's weird.
Okay, so what's the danger here? We hear about this, and this is always something the fans see in the media say, oh, they're 0-2, but they're just still an NFL team. They're better than that. I hope the Chiefs don't overlook them or look past them or assume they're going to win. Does that happen in the NFL? I mean, because they always say, you know, it's one game at a time. But these guys see that the Colts sucked last week. It's hard not to have something in your head, right? I mean, you get focused. But
I mean, I feel like most guys know that you should beat them and beat them easily if you play your best game, but – at the end of the day, it is the NFL. Like, those guys are on a roster for a reason. They're very good at football, so anything can happen. But if the Chiefs handle their business, which they do, and Coach Reed stays locked in, and which he does, and all the guys stay locked in, which they do an awesome job of, there's no overlooking when it comes to the Chiefs.
Do they pound that over and over, like, hey, this team's, like, even when you're in the position room, whatever, like, this team's 0-2, but they're not that bad?
Yeah, they'll find – like, what part of their game that they're good at and really emphasize that, like, hey, like, we got to watch out for this, blah, blah, blah. But I would say Coach Reed, all the coordinators really do an awesome job of making sure guys are locked in and they're not going to treat any game different. Every game's going to kind of be the same. They're going to have that same intensity no matter who they're playing. And they have to handle business because they know every single game in the NFL means something, so you can't overlook one team.
How big of a loss is Willie Gay?
I think you'll notice it. I mean, especially how young the linebackers are. I feel like Darius Harris will kind of be the next man up. Like, he's been there for a while, and I liked him. He's a good football player and plays hard and is smart. So I'm excited to see him kind of get an opportunity to shine. I think it's a little early for Leo to kind of get in there. There's a lot to know when it comes to the Spags. Defense playing linebacker, so if he's in there, I mean, it kind of means he's a really smart guy, but I would say you'll see a lot of Darius Harris this week.
See, that's a guy that's hung on and worked his ass off for a spot, and it seems like the last couple of years, especially this year, few people had him on the 53, and then he just ends up playing his way on the 53.
Yeah, he's been on, I mean, every time I've been on the practice squad, he's kind of been there. I think he is a year or two younger than me, so... But every time, he's right there, and he works hard. He's quiet. I loved him. He's a great dude. And like I said, when he gets his opportunities, he plays well. You saw him in the last couple games of last year when some of the starters were resting. He got in there and was flying around. So I don't expect anything less this week.
And a lot of people are focused on Willie Gay for good reason. But, I mean, kind of, I don't know, under the radar, Mike Dana with that calf injury, if he can't play – That's an important part of that rotation out there. He's been playing well.
Yeah, Mike's really he really has been playing well. He kind of brings that motor off the edge that a lot of NFL defensive linemen don't have. So hopefully they can get him treated and get him back right for Sunday. But you never know. NFL's kind of weird.
We got Garrick Dieter in studio. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. Garrick Dieter's appearance on the Border Patrol is brought to you by Houndstooth at 507 Walnut Street down in the City Market area. Very close to the Northeast neighborhood where I grew up, down the North End and the Northeast. HoundstoothKC.com. Houndstooth, old school, never old fashioned. I have a suit from Houndstooth, a wonderful place. You like it down there, don't you?
Yeah, I've worked with Jeff from Houndstooth 3 years ago. Did some stuff with him, made me some awesome custom suits, and I'm glad to be partnered with him now. He's an awesome guy, awesome suit store. You go in there, and it's kind of just a cool vibe. You wanna go check it out. It's down River Market, right in front of the River Market. Yeah, you'll baby. See it, and go in there and enjoy it, because it's it's definitely a cool vibe. It's a local suit store. You don't see those places anymore. And custom suits, you can't beat that.
Should Marco go in and get a birthday suit?
Marco, 25th birthday, man. You got to get in there. You
Come on, Marco.
No, I got to ask, though. I got a few friends getting married in the next year. Do they do rentals there, you know, for...
What do you think, Garrick Dieter's a salesman?
He gets
suits, man.
Go get a custom suit. It's right. A wedding. Come on.
Better to buy the suit.
Yeah. One of my buddies is actually that I play with at Alabama is getting his wedding tux from Jeff from Houndstooth.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he was just in town this past weekend to get it fitted, and
this guy wants to rent everything.
Yeah, you can't. I mean,
you gotta buy it.
Yeah, you might as well buy it, buddy.
That's exactly right.
25 now, man.
Garrick Dieter's also telling me that. You believe that you could be a very good bench coach in baseball,
Yankees,
manager?
I'm any team, but...
What about the Royals? They may need your help.
I could fire up the boys. Like, if there's one thing I know how to do, it's get the boys going. So, bench coach, anybody in the MLB, you need somebody, you got my number. I'll be on this show all year. So, we'll do some open interviews if needed.
Okay, so what do I got to do? I've had some people reach out to me, and so I'm reaching back. And I'm going to try to make something happen here. I see you going to high school football games on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And where were you guys at last on this past Friday?
We went to Blue Valley West versus Southwest, I believe.
Okay, so do you go every Friday?
No.
Do you like to take in high school football, though?
Yeah, that was the first high school game I've seen in a while, and it was all right. I thought I'd like it a little bit more, but it was a blowout, so maybe
you need a competitive game.
I tweeted it out last week, I think. I'm like, I want to see a good, hard game, and that was not that.
Okay, and so do you have say when your group goes to a football game? Do you have a vote, or you just go?
That one, Pat asked me if I wanted to go to that, so we just went to that. Matt Nagy's mm-hmm. son was the quarterback, and
so that's the reason. So
there was a connection for that one. But I like Sherm. Me and Sherm will go to another high school game at some point this year. So any of the good ones, though, we need a big rivalry.
What can be done to get you and Sherm to a St. Pius X football game? You'll have Italian sausages waiting for you. You will have. What are you laughing? That's something that's.
I thought you were sleeping over there, Nate.
That's right. Oh, what's wrong with the Italian sausage? You don't want an Italian sausage waiting for you, maybe, hey, Katie.
You know, I have specifically made the trip to the Northland just to have the Stephen St. John sausage.
You can be a part. You can be a part of this too. You know,
when's the next big game?
Well, they're going to play Chillicothe this Friday, and they're having a chili cook-off before because Chillicothe.
I don't mean
the game. It would have been great to go. To see they play Maryville because Pius scored a touchdown with a minute left to take the lead, and then Maryville drove all the way down and they had the ball at the 11-yard line with four or five seconds left, and the quarterback rolls out, and if they score a touchdown, they win. And I saw a guy streak open, and just as he's going to throw a kid for Pius, comes, sacks him, walk-off sack, wins the game. That's one. See, that's the kind of game you need to be
at. That's the kind of game I need to be at. That's the game I was exactly at was, right. I think I left in the third quarter. It was like 35-0 or something like that.
If I talk to the Pius coaches, say, what's a competitive game? Garrick Dieter wants competitive games. He don't want no blowout.
All right.
I'm in.
Can we make something happen? Get Sherm up there.
Yes.
Get you up there.
I'm in there.
There's a VIP area. We'll put you up, and there's you can have a roof over your head.
I'm not a VIP guy.
You don't VIP.
I'm
put your
crowd.
Ass right in the middle of the student section.
Put me
How
in
about
the student
that?
Section. I'll get the crowd going. But
okay.
No, I'm not. I'm not a big fan of being like.
I'll put you out
to the side. I like being in the crowd.
I'll put you on
like
the grill with the Italian sausages.
Hey,
how about that?
Whatever it needs done.
We'll make all different kinds of things. All right, Nate Bucati, if you want to be a part of this, that's fine. But you're laughing at it. I was going to bring you Italian sausages too, and then you mocked me. You broke my heart. I know it was
I'm
you.
I'm laughing because I'm just picturing because I know the background here. Like, I will sit here and tell you that some of the greatest burritos that you'll ever have in town are at the Bishop Ward High School football games for $2 a
piece. Go do that too.
But if you're Garrick Dieter and you're not familiar with the neighborhoods and everything, he might not fully understand why someone's trying to throw Italian sausages at him
Man.
When he goes to a high school football game. But if you go,
it's right off the highway.
Oh my
on
God,
the way to the airport, St. Pius,
incredible.
Easy in yeah. and out. We could take what do you want from me?
No Did bad. You know you can get Stephen St. John sausage?
Yeah, you got to go to Shemeika's Italian Sausage in the North Town. You need to order my sandwich on there.
I'm not a North guy, but
I might take a trip.
I might
exactly
take a trip.
Right.
Yeah, make you a North guy. Yeah, that's what I do. I go. I pop in, pop out. You know.
Who's going to win tonight between the Steelers and the Browns? And which stupid parlay that I keep asking about?
I'll make my wife happy. I'll say the Browns and parlays. Man, what did you say? The
Garrick Dieter is so tired of my ridiculous parlays for tonight. Okay, but look, that's the path to the big payoff at DraftKings Sportsbook.
You got to go parlay. I'm a parlay guy all day.
That's exactly right. What was the one that you were talking about? With the baseball?
Yanks. I took the Yanks 1.5.
The Dodgers, right?
The Dodgers almost blew it, so I hedged my bet and walked away with some money. But, man, you got to be careful with the parlays. They'll sneak up on you.
Just tell me what you think of this, everyone right here, and then we'll break. Cleveland Browns win by at least 5. Brissett with at least 175 yards passing. Nick Chubb with at least 80 yards rushing. And Amari Cooper with at least 45 yards receiving. That's plus 525.
Throw $10 down.
Nate Bucati.
I like it. $10?
I don't think that's bad. I think that's reasonable.
How much you win?
What, plus 525.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the score of the Chiefs-Colts going to be? Chiefs are favored by what? 5.5 now or 5? 5.5?
I mean, you could hammer that. I would...
You feel good? You feel this because it feels like I was saying, "Oh, they're going to kick the Colts' ass." Now I got all these people telling me, "Oh, it's a trap game. Watch out."
That's an away game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pat in the dome, Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Indiana, scored a touchdown on that field.
Yeah.
State championship.
All right.
Shout out to my high school. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Oh, that's right. Getting the jersey retired. Your dad refuses to call me back.
No, I think Chiefs by. I feel like you'd be fine betting Chiefs by at least 10.
Chiefs by 10. Are you thumbs up on that?
Might be a trap game though.
And then tomorrow, what's going on with the jersey? What's the big deal with the DJ
Bend.
And?
Yeah, we got a DJ. Tyreek Hill sent in. He's gonna surprise my high school with some Grip Boost gloves. Talked to him the other day, so he's sending out gloves and. So I'll be there tomorrow night against the inner city rival team. So it'll be cool game to be at.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm going to get you a schedule, and we'll get you guys up to a St. Pius game, all right?
Let's go.
That is Garrick Dieter, who brought donuts because Nate's not here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.